This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Friday, April 4th, brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. Senate tariff pushback. Are tariffs to get deals or not? Bipartisan push on the E15. Congressional pushback to Trump's tariffs rolls on. There is continued hand-wringing on Capitol Hill over the president's vast new duties on U.S. trade partners. Senators have launched a bipartisan bid to claw back some congressional oversight of U.S. trade policy less than 24 hours after the Liberation Day announcement. Finance Committee Senators Chuck Grassley of Iowa and Maria Cantwell of Washington have introduced a bipartisan bill that would require Congress to approve any new tariff increase by the president. These are big economic impacts, Cantwell told AgriPulse. People who have been part of a trade discussion, like the Finance Committee members, know how important this is. Now take note. Four GOP senators on Wednesday backed a Democratic-led resolution challenging the emergency declaration underpinning the U.S. tariffs on Canada. Senator Tim Kaine of Virginia led that effort and said he is now teeing up a new challenge on the 10% baseline tariff unveiled this week. Kaine thinks the momentum will grow. People are going to go home and they're going to get an earful about this, Kaine told AgriPulse. He added this pressure could lead to a more robust vote next time around. Administration sends mixed messages on tariff deal-making. The Trump administration is sending mixed signals about whether it is open to cutting deals with countries to lower new duties announced this week. Multiple agriculture groups, including the American Soybean Association, pressing the president to swiftly cut deals with countries to secure greater market access for U.S. agricultural products. But the White House is reluctant to frame the duties as a negotiating tool. The Washington Post has reported that administration officials are being instructed not to characterize the new tariffs as a starting point for discussions. But President Donald Trump told reporters on Air Force One yesterday that he was open to cutting deals for the right concessions. It depends, Trump said, as long as they're giving us something that's good. The tariffs give us great power to negotiate. Bergram pressured to add potash and phosphate to critical minerals list. Lawmakers are urging Interior Secretary Doug Burgum in a letter to restore potash and add phosphate to the department's critical minerals list. Their letter comes weeks after the White House issued an executive order to boost phosphate and domestic mineral production. Items included on the list receive increased research funding and streamlined permitting procedures, which could support U.S. production of fertilizer. Potash was removed from the list in 2022. The mineral's significance for U.S. national security, food security, and American farmers is especially critical, particularly given recent global events that have affected fertilizer markets and highlighted the risk of disruptions, the letter reads. Why it matters? Well, the U.S. imports more than 90% of the potash used annually. A majority of that is supplied by Canada and is now subject to a 10% tariff. Senator Joni Ernst of Iowa told AgriPulse she was confident that ensuring both potash and phosphate, two essential fertilizer components, receive this designation will strengthen domestic fertilizer production. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this.
Located in Washington, D.C., Watkinson Miller has been providing legal services to the agriculture industry for more than 30 years. The attorneys at Watkinson Miller possess a unique combination of knowledge, skills, and experience working with commodity boards and their partner organizations and the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Watkinson Miller is proud to serve the agriculture community by delivering top-quality legal services that achieve cost-effective results.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. Rollins doubts tariff compensation necessary. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins says it will be literally months before the administration knows whether it will be necessary to compensate farmers for the results of Trump's trade policy. I don't believe that it will, but if it is, then this president has always said he is resolute in his commitment to our farmers and our ranchers and our great rural communities in America. So we will. We'll make sure we're ready if, in fact, that is necessary, Rollins said from the White House, where she had just met with farmers from Florida. By the way, Senator John Hoeven of North Dakota is our guest this week on the AgriPulse Newsmakers. He talks about Trump's tariff plan and addresses the question of how long the government could politically sustain trade compensation payments. Obviously, I hope it doesn't go on for several years, he says. On the tariff plan, Hoeven says, quote, if you think about it, for as long as I can remember, our farmers have always said they want a free but fair trade, a level playing field. How many times have you heard that? And really, that's what he's after. He's talking about reciprocity. Newsmakers will be available today at AgriPulse.com. Kennedy and Rollins address nutrition in a joint appearance. In their first joint appearance, Rollins and Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. said they're working together to improve child nutrition, but offered few details on what policies they may pursue. Kennedy said they are encouraging governors to apply for SNAP waivers to exclude purchases of soft drinks and, quote, other substances that we know are dangerous to our children. We believe in choice, Kennedy said, but the federal taxpayers should not be paying to poison our children, and we're going to end that, and we're going to end it very quickly. When asked directly about potential federal action to address additives, dyes, and processed food in school meals, Kennedy said the two secretaries are actively collaborating on the upcoming dietary guidelines for Americans. He said the recommendations released by the Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee look like they were written by food processing industry. He said the goal is to get the final guidelines out as quickly as possible. Rollins said she views states as the, quote, laboratories of democracy, where the innovation on how to improve these nutrition programs can actually take shape. The states begin to compete with one another, and I think the result of that will be alongside us with the dietary guidelines and what we're doing at the federal level through both of our agencies. I think you'll see a new day in terms of how we think about nutrition and programs, Rollins said. Bipartisan Senate leadership calls for extended E15 sales. Republican and Democratic senators are urging Trump to allow the use of E15 year-round. Senate Majority Leader John Thune of South Dakota joined Minority Whip Dick Durbin of Illinois in a letter encouraging Trump to let E15 be used during the summer. Specifically, the senators urged the president to extend the Reed vapor pressure waiver nationwide from June 1 through September 15. They argue this would lower prices for consumers and benefit the domestic energy market and agriculture producers. The letter was signed by 15 other Democrats and Republicans, including Senate Ag Committee Ranking Member Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota. Here's today's final word. If the result is our trading partners jack up their tariffs and we have high tariffs everywhere, I think that is a bad outcome. Tariffs are a tax on consumers, and I'm not a fan of jacking up taxes on consumers. That's the word of Senator Ted Cruz of Texas on Fox Business. Well, that's Daybreak for this Friday, April 4th. Brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Nally.